moving in the Holy Spirit, but you'll see sections on prophecy as we go through. And I'm a firm believer that everything needs a foundation that is to be built. And it's the same in the spirit realm, that we must have a foundation in our lives, a foundation of understanding, that we will not be shaken concerning any of the aspects of the spirit realm or any of the aspects of the Bible as far as that goes. And so this evening I want to start by looking at the origins of the prophetic ministry. Just before I go to Numbers chapter 11, it's wonderful to be in a Pentecostal church. It's wonderful to be in church anyway. It's wonderful to be around the things of the Spirit and hear great songs and testimonies and all of those kind of things. But I want to be a person that actually moves in the Holy Spirit, just like the saints of old did. And so it's one thing to be around all of that, which is wonderful, but it's another step to move into the actual relating and moving in the power and the presence and the purpose and the plan of the Holy Spirit. So to me, the Holy Spirit is actually a person. Yes, there is a force, there is a presence, but he is real and he is a person. And that's quite hard for natural minds to understand: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I don't even see that the Holy Spirit is lesser than God the Father or lesser than God the Son. In fact, in this age, I would say that I'd probably put the Holy Spirit first, because the Holy Spirit is the tangible, relating section of the Father. He lives in my heart. Now, Jesus doesn't live in my heart as a form, but it's his Spirit that lives in my heart. It's the Spirit of the Father that lives in my heart. I am filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Probably won't get to too much of that today, but this is a little snapshot of this wonderful subject that I love. So starting from Numbers chapter 11, we're actually looking at origins right at the moment. Origins. How did this originate? God working with man, man working with God. It says, so Moses went out, verse 24, and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders, and they had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke with him, and took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they didn't do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but they didn't go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, the son of Nun, who had been with Moses' aid since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Few thoughts in here. There's plenty, but just a few. The first thing is, the background to this is, Israel's in trouble. There's a lot to deal with, and they're not sure what to do. And so God comes and speaks and says, get 70 of the elders together, and the Spirit of God will come upon them, just the same as the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is on you. And so this happens. But two of them are absent. And however, because they were elders, the Spirit of God came on them as well. Changed the whole nature of the leadership. And then, after that, we find that the nearest, dearest, and greatest Joshua couldn't handle the fact that the Spirit of God was moving beyond his control and said, stop them. So Moses then says these famous words, I would that the Lord would put his Spirit on everyone. So back right at the beginning, Moses gets this revelation and desire and looks forward to such verses as Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive the Spirit. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and to Tasmania. And so Moses is forward thinking and has an understanding of the relevance and necessity of the Holy Spirit operating in his life and the life of the elders and in fact all God's people to get the job done. Now I personally believe that the only way a person can change, really change, is through the action and the work of God, and that has to be following through by the Spirit working in their lives. I've just recently been to a mental health seminar where experts were there, and they basically said, you can't change a person's life. You can come alongside them. And this psychiatrist is also a pastor. And he said, you can pray, you can do all that, but only God really can change a life. I guess I might be living proof of that, because God has changed my life, brought me out of darkness and into the light. So let's move now to the New Testament. And I just want to look at Jesus. This is what it says in Revelation 19:10. And this is John being caught up into heaven and seeing great things. It says, and I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I'm a fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. So he's seeing an angel. And he starts to worship the angel. He says, don't do it, don't do it. You mustn't do it. I'm a fellow worker in the spirit realm as well. He said, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so how did Jesus operate when he was here? In the spirit of prophecy, in the Holy Spirit. Jesus had the right word at the right time, every time. He also had the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and all of the good things we read about in the New Testament were operating in and through Jesus. And so this is moving in the Holy Spirit. He goes to a well. He senses that he needs to be at that well. He says, I'm just going to wait here. You go and buy food, whatever, do whatever you got to do. But I need to be here. A woman comes in the middle of the day. She is an off-scouring woman. No one wants to know her and all the rest of it. You know the story. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to him and is able to pinpoint certain things in her life. Opens up her, opens up the whole town. If you get a word from God, an instruction from God, you never know how big that will be. But as I said this morning, you got to sow it. You got to pray it. You got to speak it. You got to do it. Even if it sounds crazy, you do that. You never know what may be behind that. Let me pause and do a deviation here. I am going from Exeter to Launceston to church. We're churchgoers. We got saved. Saved people are in church. We're worshipping Jesus. Do we know much? Not a real lot, but we know some things. So there we are. You get to meet people in church. I know all of your names now. Not. But this name I suddenly knew. He said, I'm Pedro. He said, I'm a Dutchman. My name is Pedro. I'm not going to forget. Pedro. How many Pedros are there here tonight? If we had 1,000 people, would there be a Pedro? Probably not. So 2 or 3 weeks, I say, oh, good day, Pedro. Hi, goodbye. I come out on Saturday morning. You see, the Holy Spirit is not on holiday. He's not a one-day-a-week working God. I come out. I open the glass door with my nails and bolts because I'm fixing my house. I run directly into Pedro. I said, "Hello, Pedro, how are you?" He broke down and started crying, so much so that I was embarrassed. And I looked around like this and I said, "Pedro, get in your car, follow my car. I live just up the road." He had coffee. We prayed for him. He said, "Can I come back next week?" Yes. So we were faithful to Pedro. Did we know what we were doing? You betcha. We've been to university and they told us what you do when a Dutch man called Pedro comes to the door and you can't avoid him and he's crying, and this is what you do. Point one, point two, point three, point four, and you do that and you do that. Yeah, we'd studied up on Pedro, I can tell you. But the Holy Spirit knew more about Pedro than whatever we did. And so he came at night time after that, a Wednesday night. Some other people that we did not know, who were old people like us at the time, they bailed us up in Launceston. They said, "Excuse me, you are John and Denise Hannaford, and we have to come and see you. We live at Paper Beach, you live at Exeter. When can we come?" Insistent these old people were. Ooh. Anyway, we said, "Come on Wednesday night." Nothing happens on Wednesday night. We're free. We eat and drink and whatever. They came. But then they had a friend called Judy. And they said, "Judy would enjoy coming here to these meetings." I should have smelt a rat then. I said, "Well, bring Judy." So Judy had a sister-in-law or something. And someone else had... We're all related in Tasmania. Everybody knows everybody's business. Might be different here, I don't know. So anyway, more and more people are coming. We do not know what to do. We have not been to university. We don't know all the points. All we know is Christians worship. Christians pray for one another. Christians open the Bible and read the Bible. Christians, some of them, play music. Christians eat and drink. I've seen some of you do it at the breakfast. You're experienced at eating and drinking. Christians do this stuff. So we did the stuff that Christians do until we got to between 35 and 40 people every Wednesday night at our house. So much so that my workmates noticed all the cars and said we were going to the pub, but we nearly called in. "There's more cars at your place than the pub." I said, "Come on in." Someone wanted to get baptized. We just so happened to have a kids' swimming pool. And so we got them baptized. We shoved them down. We waited for them. They pulled them up. They didn't speak in tongues, so we put them down again. Someone had told me that's what you're supposed to do. Three times or four times they spluttered. We thought, "Well, that'll do. That's fine." I'm sure we made many mistakes. Some woman came in with her eyes glazed. She looked like she'd been on some sort of stuff or whatever. She said, "I got this thing that's trying to whatever kill me or something." So we got her in the room and we shouted and carried on because we were told that's what we're supposed to do. She said, "I'm right now." Walked out, her eyes looked all right, and we continued to eat and drink. But you see, what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit knows what to do. The most terrible thing was that after a period of time, they said, "John, we need to talk to you." I thought, "What have I done now?" They said, "We're loving this. We're enjoying this. This is our church and you're our pastor and we want to meet on Sundays." I said, "You must be joking. You must be joking." Then all the politics started and all the rest. And you've got to study at university and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. Well, we didn't. We just kept on going. We just kept on going. Friends, why am I saying all of this? Is because if you are tapped into the Holy Spirit and he has tapped into you. The rich resources of God are on hand to do the will and purpose of God 7 days a week at any time. It's just a matter of being childlike and reaching out and saying, I'm your woman, I'm your man, here we are today, big or small. So did I pioneer and start the Tamar Valley Church that's going forward and growing and so on and so forth, which it is right now, and other churches have sprung off it? I didn't do it. If anyone wants the credit, maybe it's Pedro. For all I know, Pedro started it. He started it all. All we did is give the coffee and pray. And so every small action, there may be a very big thing behind all of that. Don't ever get tricked. Like I said this morning, you got one talent or one small thing, use it. So we've looked at the origins there. Jesus being on time every time with the right word. Just a few words to the woman at the well changed the town. Come on. I can see that you need loving. I can see you've tried 5 or 6 times, it hasn't worked out very well, and the person you're with now, we haven't even married them. Well, you don't have to be a Philadelphia lawyer to work out some of these things. But he spoke it out of compassion and talked with her, and before long he's down in the town. So come on. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And he is God. Now, the necessity of the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether this is what you want, but this is what you're getting. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too... immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. I can tell you story after story after story after story over 49 years how God has moved again and again and again and again. Miraculously, people's lives have been changed. God is able to do more than my puny brain and your great, big, powerful, awesome brain that knows everything can imagine. The necessity of the Holy Spirit. More than we can ask or imagine. I like to imagine. We were watching on TV this big church the other night, and they're all praising God. And I like to look at it because I think there's 33 acres of land that we've got that our church is on, but this is another dimension. And I'm thinking, God, could that work there? Could that work there? Beyond our imagination. I like to dream. They interviewed some 90-plus-year-olds. They did this scientific research. And they got them together and they talked with them and interviewed them. One common thing, if you had your time again, I would dream and I would risk more. I would dream and I would risk more. That's what they said. So areas of the moving of the Holy Spirit. I see the Holy Spirit's ministry as wide and broad. It says in Exodus 35, 30 to 32, Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah. He's filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs, work in gold, silver, and bronze. Friends, the Holy Spirit is well able to work in you and through you in your daily life, in your daily natural, if you like, activities of doing your housework, doing your family work, doing your business work, whatever it may be. The Holy Spirit is God, and there is nothing that we should exclude from his leadership and guidance. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Then we have the spiritual side of it. You'll know these verses very well. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11, it talks about the different kinds of gift and the different kinds of manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who distributes this for the common good. I won't read it all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Wisdom, knowledge, healing, all of these things are given. They are the work of the one and same Spirit. He distributes them, each one, just as He determines. So you see, the gamut of the work of the Spirit is 7 days a week, nighttime, daytime. If I've got a problem in my family, the Holy Spirit is the one that I go to. Give me a word. Tell me what to do. Tell me how to behave. Do I make a phone call? Do I go over and visit? What do I say? Every step of the way, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's church, whether it's a message, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit is the one that we are yoked up with. Now, I just want to go a few how it works for me. I can't say for anyone else how it works for me. If this is the case, the Holy Spirit is an absolute necessity for someone like me. I'm not sure whether the Holy Spirit is an absolute necessity for anyone else here. But for me, I have to have, I am desperate. Because without the Holy Spirit, how am I ever going to be successful? And my success, even if it is success, will be short-lived and temporal. But when it is with the Holy Spirit, it's eternal, it's kingdom, it's long-lasting, and has great benefits for many people. The first one is faith, faith. To believe in the indwelling and the capacity of the Holy Spirit. How do I feel when things aren't going so well? I told you this morning that I had been told to give up the ministry, that I was not allowed to speak anymore for Jesus because I wasn't good enough. I did tell you that this morning. So I have a choice at that point in time. What am I going to do? Am I going to believe that the Holy Spirit has left me? Which was actually written down for me to read, but it just wasn't in the Bible, because Jesus said, I will give you the comfort of the Holy Spirit and He will be with you forever. Tell me, who here got saved on your performance? You're just so good that God said, I will select you. Yes, sir, the one down the back there. Sorry, you were twitching. I thought you had your hand up. None of us got saved by our performance. How do we get saved? By the grace of God. For by grace you are saved through faith, to believe. Yeah, Jesus has done it all. And everything else is by grace as well in the kingdom of God. Every ministry we do is not by performance, it is by grace. Everything is by grace. So faith to believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the capacity of the Holy Spirit in you, in me. Galatians 3:2 says that we receive this by faith. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by faith or by works or by law? Paul says. So that helps me because it keeps me stable. It keeps me operating. When I get up in the morning and I've had a bad night, or I've had a bad day, or Denise has not been compliant, I'm going to pay for that later, or we've had a row. We had a row one day in the home group. I can't think what it was about. One of the leaders got so upset, they said, Oh, you're not fit to do any marriage counselling. Your marriage is not in order. I said, you beauty, thank you. We don't have to do it anymore. That's wonderful. We're having a disagreement about something. So what? We're still married, still saved, still filled. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Don't you get tricked, because on a day when there's a lot of pressure, you may be in a spiritual warfare situation. It might be just the time when there's a breakthrough in the spirit and someone to minister to. But if you minister out of your emotions or out of knowledge, brain power, or something like that, you'll be up and down and around all the time. But if you minister by faith, out of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, and His capacity, who actually was the powerhouse when creation was established. God spoke, He moved. God spoke, He moved. Let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. He moved, He moved, He moved, He moved. The capacity of that Spirit lives in you. The second one, which really follows on very well, is dependence. Are we prepared to be a fool for Jesus? Because when it's the Spirit, you will not get validation from people who are in the flesh. You cannot, they cannot. You can only, if there is any validation or confirmation, it will only ever be with someone else who is born again and filled with that same Spirit. Flesh cannot inherit the things of the Spirit and doesn't understand them. I know, I didn't before I got saved. And so, are we prepared to be, in the eyes of the world, a fool for Jesus? 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wisdom of the wise, the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Why is that? He wants to show the world the power of grace working in that life. How could they ever do that? It must, they've got something we don't have. It's the grace of God. And then 1 Corinthians 4:10, we are fools for Christ. He goes on and says, but you are wise and all of that. But Paul is happy to be a fool for Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than treasures untold. I'd rather have Jesus than this, than that, than something else. I'd rather have Jesus living in my life. I'd rather be serving Jesus than anything else. They may think it's foolish. My family thought I was foolish for 50 years or whatever, till I turned about 50-ish. They thought that when I got saved, I'd gone nuts. But then they weren't too worried about it, because I went from motorbikes to boats to this to that to something else, and they just thought, it's a passing phase. Well, that's 49 years now. It's not passing very well. But now, after they've tried their ways, they realize we have something they don't have. First, we were fools, now we're not. We're often advisors to them. Next step, salvation for them. The third thing that I found is very important is courage. Courage to go beyond feelings, logic, recognizing that one word from God can change everything. It's like seeds. Peter and John were up before the Sanhedrin, and when they saw the courage of them, they realized they'd been with Jesus. They took it up to them. They had courage. This is the way we're going. Courage. And the fourth one is desire or passion. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love. We don't covet and strive for the gifts and the manifestation, the spirituals, the things of the Holy Spirit. We follow the way of love. What did Jesus say? love one another. That's our foundation. But he goes on and says, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So there is a desire born out of a heart of love, not the other way around. There is a desire born out of, I want to see things done. No, it's got to be out of a foundation of love. Follow the way of love and earnestly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Here's the fifth thing. The ability to connect. It's kind of like logging on. Have you ever decided to log on to something? And the internet's down? Do you get frustrated? All the ones that said nothing are liars. We expect to be connected. We paid for that. $80 a month or whatever it is. We paid good money. We paid legal tender for that. I demand to be connected. How much more in this realm? The need to be connected. Too many people miss this part, the connection with the Spirit, the antenna up, the ears open, the eyes of our heart open, Ephesians 1:18, John chapter 10, our ears open, my sheep hear my voice. Connecting. It's kind of like a man called Fritz Neelands. Fritz was from the Baltic States, an older man, came out. And we had dealings with Fritz and he helped us on our building projects. But when Fritz would ring up on the telephone, I think I could understand one word out of 10. Have you ever rang or contacted one of these service centres? Why on earth's name for an Australian business would you have someone that can't speak the lingo properly as your front of house? It's like putting a Russian person at the door of this and saying, you will welcome everyone, and they can't even speak English. There is no connection. There is no understanding. And too often that can be the case with us and the Holy Spirit. We have to focus in. After a while, one word became two words with Fritz. And then we sort of did all right, did about 5 words out of 10, then he died. The ability to connect, focus, to say no to noise, background noise, to engage conversationally with the beautiful Holy Spirit who lives in us. He is close. To speak and to listen. I can give you an example. I was commissioned 2 years ago now to go down to the Valley Church and see the church grow, numerically grow. That was my commission. God gave us instructions. We've been following the instructions really clearly. So I would get there in church really early in the morning. I'd do my warfare and prayer and everything. And so I'm there one morning and I'm praying away like crazy. And God, we want to see growth. And God this and God that and God something else. Have you ever come across those people that talk all the time and you can't get a word in? Well, it was me. And I suddenly stopped after a while. And when I finally stopped, the Holy Spirit got a look in. And it came clearly to my mind, be faithful with little and I will give you more. Because I've been saying, God, I want growth, but check my heart. But I want growth, but I want it for the right motivation. Blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden I was arrested by the Holy Spirit. He said, John, you need to be faithful with what you got right now. And so I'm crying, you know, now, and I'm praying. I said, oh, Lord, look, I'm really sorry for all that outburst. Forget all that rubbish, all those prayers, so-called prayers. Yeah, I promise I'm going to be faithful today. Whoever comes, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to love. I'm going to do whatever I can today. Then I get this scripture come. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord and your barns will be filled to overflowing. I then get a vision and I saw people lining up and they couldn't get in because it was already full. And we're getting close to that now. You see, I had rails to run on when the Holy Spirit broke through. And I'm sure there's no motor mouths here. And I'm sure that there's no one here where your mind goes zzz, 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 and you are thinking about all this stuff. And I am sure there's no one here that's really anxious and all the rest of it, and all you can do is spend all your time and effort worrying about something that may never happen. There wouldn't be anyone like that here. And no one's ever been afflicted with any of these problems. But if you ever were, or have been, or are now, you've got to push the stop button and step aside, get in faith, and say, Jesus, your beautiful Spirit, the one who anointed, empowered, guided, led, and spoke to you, lives in me right now. And Jesus, I just receive whatever comfort, instruction, counsel, and guidance that you have for me through the vehicle of your Holy Spirit this day. And start a different journey of being, what was the word this morning? In what? Tandem. I tried to get Denise on a tandem bike. It was a disaster. She wouldn't get on it. Then I rode it on my own. The most disgusting thing to try and ride. I sold it in the end. I bought it for $300 and sold it for $800. That bit was all right. But being in tandem with Jesus is smooth and easy in partnership with him. The mind must be continually disciplined, renewed by the Holy Spirit so that we will not be a barrier to his leading. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God. God speaking to me. What is the will for the day? What's the will for the hour? What is the direction? God, if I renew my mind and refresh my mind, put aside all that worry about this, about that, about something else, whatever. God, you're big. I'm going to magnify you in my life. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How do you walk? How do you walk? I'm doing it. Do you walk differently to me? Does anyone here walk differently? I mean, you might have a different gait, but do you walk differently to me? How do you do? I do it one step at a time. Is there anyone here that does it differently, three steps at a time or whatever? We all do it one step at a time, faithful with each step, whatever we're being told to do. It's a great way to live. It's a great way to walk. You walk without the stresses of the world and the burnouts and all of those sorts of things. You walk as a child, hand in hand with a father. You walk with your daddy, your Abba God, and he will never fail you or leave you. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, I think this is the last one I've got here, it is, but we with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. I don't want veils and barriers on me. I want my face spiritually unveiled. Nothing in the road. Am I going to make mistakes? Yes. Am I going to need correction? Of course. All of those things. But at least if the face is unveiled, I will have whatever I need to go forward and have those words said, well done, John. Well done, Julie. Well done, Denise. Well done, Brian. Well done, Stan. Well done, whoever. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness together. As in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image, the image of Jesus, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. So this beautiful Holy Spirit has come to live in my heart. He has two roles. One is to keep me, strengthen me, change me, counsel me, work in me so that I can go from glory to glory. I'm a better minister now than what I was when I was 33 years of age, and I know it. I'm a better husband now than what I was then, and I know it, and others know. I'm a better father now. I'm a better prayer now. Have I arrived? No. But this is the work of God in us, and we should expect this to bear more fruit, fruit that will remain. We should expect this because the Holy Spirit in us is the one that will take us personally forward, and the Holy Spirit is the one that will work the purpose of God through us out into a lost and dying world. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever concerning this church. The best days are yet to come. I have no doubt whatsoever. If that is not the case, it is not the Holy Spirit's fault. It's the fact that you have decided to block out all instructions from the Holy Spirit. And that is never going to happen here. And it's never going to happen in your life. And it's never going to happen in my life. So I'm excited about the future that God has for us. Yes, we have an enemy. He doesn't actually have the numbers. Do you realize that? If you read your Bible, he doesn't have the numbers. Only 1/3 of them got thrown out. There's 2/3 that are for you. So let's get a grip on things here. Yeah, if you turn the news on and you listen to that, you will get an earthly report that is largely promulgated by natural and wicked people. So you get what you want. But if you will wait on the Lord, and I'm not saying don't be informed, but as you wait on the Lord, he will come and minister to you and minister through you. And so this is how it works. It's probably not really what you were looking for this evening. It may be that you came here to get a word from God, and that's fine. But this encourages you to be the one who brings the word, and that's perhaps a top priority in this day and age where there is such devastation. A woman or a man that comes on a platform of love to bring a word of encouragement is a precious thing in this world around about us, and we can do that this morning. I feel that I should share this. This morning, I believe I received a word from God. And so I thought, what do I do with this? We have knowledge, what it's about, but we have to have wisdom. How would I do this? How could I bring this? How could I bring this in a correct way without any offense and with love? And so I consulted most of the leaders of the church, apart from Pastor Julie and her husband. And I said, I believe I've got this. What do you think? Is this correct? Do you feel it's correct? Please tell me. There's wisdom in counselors. And so I want to give this word today and pray. And I'd like you to join with me in prayer, because this is what I got. And then I'm not sure where we go from there, but that's fine. So I'd like Graham, if you would, to come out here. Thank you. Yes, you, Graham, the Graham there with the glasses on his head. And Julie, you might like to stand with your husband, as you have been doing that all the way through. No, there. That's a prescribed spot there. This way, face me. I felt this morning that our brother Graham needs to be released in the spirit realm further into the ministry of God. We're not talking about titles and all of those things. Yes, please come forward, Steve. We are talking about seeing our brother move forward under the anointing of the Holy Spirit freely to do the things that I've been talking about, that the Holy Spirit is calling him to do, and not being held back by anything, you know, by past whatever and all of that. And I felt that very strongly for you, brother. And here's the scripture. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Graham, I urge you, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in that grace. You're a man of God because of the grace of God. That's where we rest, the grace of God. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You're an experienced man. You've been around for a while. You've seen, you've heard teaching. You've seen how things are done. You know a lot. There's a lot of experience. Take that and impart that to men around about you as you go about your daily business. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, but he pleases him who enlisted him. And so the third thing is, there's a shield to take up. There's a sword to take up. There's armor to put on, and you're going to win a victory after victory after victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.